This is Paul Rodell, IVS Oral History Project. Today is September the 5th, and it is Thursday. I'm in Lowell, Michigan, with Beth, who has been known by a number of names, aliases, and you know all of that. When in IVS, known as Beth Hansen. Currently, Beth Robinson-Wolf. And she served in Laos from 1969. Oh, you actually wrote a month here, October of 1969, through all of 71, something like that?
Through October.
Through October of 71. So a complete two-year cycle. Working in nutrition and home ec and to some extent the rural areas. And by 69, 71, through 71, that was becoming more and more dicey, you would think. Some volunteers had been killed. Of course, that was before.
Yeah.
But who was to know? So I've got, basically what we'll do is go through, to some extent, some of the questions that were here. And I've got some general follow-up questions that we've been asking everybody, or most everybody. And start off, though, with some stuff that we did not have in the survey form, because otherwise it would have been 10 pages long, and nobody would have returned it. Not that this question is 10 pages long, but I mean, but you know, if we had had all the questions that we ever would have wanted to ask anybody, it would have been a much longer document, and then no one would have responded. So anyway, the first question basically is about yourself and your own background. When and where you were born, and who your parents were, not just their names, but who they were in terms of their role in your life, and if they were involved in the community, and what their occupations were. This is that sociological background, the kind of profile of people. Beyond that, what do you, looking back now, see as some of the defining kind of influences on you as you were growing up and becoming a young woman, even before you thought of joining IVS, which would get you, you know, to IVS, that is, you know, not every influence, but those influences that would lead you to an IVS experience. See, it is a long question.
Yeah, that's a lot to think about.
Yeah.
Well, I was born in Aurora, Illinois, while my father was going to Evangelical Theological Seminary. Become an Evangelical United Brethren minister.
What year was that?
1948.
Uh-huh.
So then so my father was a Methodist minister. My mother and father got married the week before my mother graduated from high school. So, but she never went to college. She said she was the smart one, and my father was the educated one. But
mm-hmm. That sometimes works out that way.
Yeah, she knows just as much as he does because she read all of his college books too. She just never got the degree.
Yeah.
So, come from a family of. I had three brothers, one older,
uh-huh.
two younger. When my grandparents had 36 grandchildren, there was only six of us that were girls. So, a long family of males.
A lot of Hansons running around.
A lot of Hansons, yes. The next generation, though, was mostly girls for some reason.
Hmm. Some master plan working itself out there somehow.
Grew up in Michigan, getting through school. I've never lived any place longer than 4 years. I guess my influence is probably if you wanted to find out what's going on, you just go find out. There wasn't any any defined male-female roles, I guess. You know, it never occurred to me that a woman wouldn't do things.
Mm-hmm. Good night, Mom. Mm-hmm. I'm just looking outside.
I don't know.
So you were never told that you couldn't do something?
No, if you wanted... if you wanted to do something, you did it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the reason I joined IVS, I was mm-hmm. one of the last people to join IVS that hasn't gotten a college degree.
Okay.
I usually worked the summer and then got enough money. At that time, you could make enough in the summer to pay for the next year of school.
Or most of it, anyway. Yeah, I did that myself. Yeah.
But the year after my sophomore year, I volunteered with the Methodist Missions, well, I guess it was EUB Missions, in New Mexico, and volunteered in a hospital in New Mexico for the whole summer, so I didn't make any money.
Uh-huh.
Sort of got my way paid there, and room and board while I was there, and way paid home, but I didn't make any money. So then, after my junior year, I didn't have any money to finish my college, so I was interested in what was going on in the other part of the world, such as Vietnam and et cetera.
Why were you interested?
Curiosity. I don't know. No. Because okay. all the stories of the my friends that were soldiers and et cetera, to know what was really going on over there, because of stories from not the ones you hear in the newspaper, but you know, live stories from people that were there. My brother had been there and come back.
Okay.
So I called around and found out that Peace Corps didn't go to Vietnam, but IVS was in Vietnam, so I sent an application to IVS. And they accepted my application, but said, well, you could probably, we might have work for you in Laos instead.
Okay.
So.
What year was that?
That must have been 68,
mm-hmm.
year before I went.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't just think of taking a year off and working, because you would have had more than enough money to go through a senior year.
Yeah, but when you get your way paid around the world, get experience in another culture, way paid back home and enough money, I would have made a lot more money if I would have just found a job. But
yeah. So
it was a curiosity on top of
not
having money to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and wanting to know what was really going on. I mean, so you hear things from other people. Well, that's their knowledge and how they see things. That's not what my interpretation might have been.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the best way to find out what's going on is to go look, you know, sort of thing. So why not?
Yeah. Wow. To clarify something, you said your father was a, and you told me this before. You say Evangelical Brethren.
Evangelical United Brethren.
Mm-hmm. Evangelical United Brethren. Okay, so is that Church of the Brethren?
No. Okay. Evangelical United Brethren is a German-speaking, sort of like Methodist.
All right.
So now that they're United Methodist, when the Evangelical United Brethren merged with the Methodist, they became United Methodist.
So EUB plus Methodist equal
United Methodist. So I think that UN. Probably happened about 1966 or so.
Okay. See, because when I hear Brethren, I think of Church of the Brethren, especially because I've seen so many people at this time. And so with a father who's a minister, did that, and the religious upbringing, did that come into the decision at all?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know.
I mean, it certainly, doesn't have to.
No, I don't.
I was just wondering.
I guess I've never... when I think of religion, people, religious people going to different places, I think of them trying to convert people.
Yeah.
No, and I think I more or less was brought up that, at least in my mind, that probably an established religion is good.
Mm-hmm.
But some places it's not Christianity, so what?
Yeah, so don't mess with it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't... I wasn't... I don't think... I think probably... Yeah. And I don't even... I'm not sure whether the idea of even going into another country and doing good was part of my decision as becoming a volunteer.
Okay. Fine. What about your feelings toward the war? Even though you were going there to find out for yourself, you must have had some preconceptions. And did that enter in? To see if you were right, to see if you were wrong?
I think my conceptions of the war actually... What I can remember now, I really didn't have any preconceptions.
Okay.
I didn't... I guess I decided it wasn't my decision to decide whether it was right or wrong. Mm-hmm. And that's what most people... It was either right or wrong.
Correct.
And
yeah, it was
it wasn't... That didn't enter into my... I still get angry now when I hear people are... say something about the Vietnamese.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the South or the North or the people in Laos. To most people, they're all one people.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people think we're fighting all of them.
Yeah.
So I get more angry now than I did would have been.
Mm.
And I got more angry after I came back than...
Then when you were there. Before you went. Yeah, I'm sorry. Why would you get angry? Because they didn't understand?
So I came... Yeah. So when I got home, I didn't really talk about things because people didn't understand anyway, so... Why talk about it?
They're just too stupid. Just get rid of these people.
It didn't enter into their life.
Uh-huh.
A lot of it. And they didn't care. So, why bother them? No, they didn't want to be bothered with any facts.
Uh-huh. So. Right, yeah, yeah. Just facts that didn't fit their preconceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, however the facts, however their preconceptions were made. Okay. That's kind of interesting, that really it is, that you went in as open-minded and as you did, because especially at that time, because more and more people were closed-minded.
I think I was pretty young and naive.
Is that it?
I was 21.
Uh-huh.
And from a small town, and, my brother was in Vietnam. I'm not even sure if... I think he was back by then.
Mm-hmm. The small town...
I think Mount Pleasant
was
a small town.
Yeah, that was the last town, because you had moved frequently when your dad would be shifted from church to church.
Yeah, so So I was there in Mount Pleasant from... I went my junior and senior year in high school, and then freshman, sophomore, junior year in college. It was a college town, so we just stayed there.
Oh, that's where you went to
school?
That's
where I went to college, too.
Oh, okay.
Lived at home.
Oh, no.
That's why it was cheap.
Well, that would certainly help. And that would certainly account for how you could work during the summers and make it through. That's where a lot of my cousins went.
Yeah.
Yeah, from Cadillac. And just down the road, of course.
Yeah.
So you found out... I think you said this already, and I've already forgotten. Duh. How did you find out about IVS again?
I was looking for a job, actually, in Vietnam.
Okay.
Contacted Peace Corps. Peace Corps told me about it.
Peace Corps did that. Mm-hmm. Oh, they gave a reference.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that was, well, of course, yeah, because you found out that Peace Corps wouldn't go, but I didn't that it was Peace Corps who told you about
Peace
IBS.
Peace Corps was in Thailand, and that was
correct.
As close as I could get.
Yeah.
That wasn't close enough.
And that wasn't close enough. Mm-hmm. So you wanted to take one more step. Okay. So then you would write off to...
IBS.
Mm-hmm. And what did they say? You're too young, kid.
No, they didn't say that. No.
No.
I said, come down to Michigan State and have an interview.
Uh-huh.
So I drove down to Michigan State, met Jim Maley at a Big Boy restaurant, and we had an interview, and drove him back to the airport or someplace. I can't remember where.
Does Jim also know you as Beth Noy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jim was my boss when I was in the house.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because I'm not going to be seeing Malia, but Mark will be. And
when we were down in Tennessee this year, we stopped by. And
oh, of course, that's right. You just got back from seeing it. Well, we can always, because we'll try to go down sometime in the fall or winter, so we can keep the communication going. So he interviews you, and then you find out right away, or?
I can't remember what time of year it was. No,
uh-huh.
It must have been before summer school started, because one of my independent studies at summer school,
mm-hmm.
I did an independent study on the Lao culture and nutrition of the Lao people, what I could find, which was not very much. But
probably not.
So I must have known before summer school started.
Yeah, that you were headed that way.
Yeah,
okay. So tell me about the orientation, the training you received, the trip out.
I don't remember much of what happened in Washington, D.C., Harper's Ferry. They sort of told us a little bit about the language and what was going on and about the volunteers that had been killed. And that they didn't know really what we would be doing, but we'd be welcome into the country. Then we went
What do you mean they didn't know what you would be doing?
Well,
why are they taking you as volunteers if they don't know what the heck you're going to be doing?
At that time, no one was going out of the city.
Okay.
So those of us that were going to be working with the home agents or fisheries or forestry or et cetera would go to Vientiane. But we weren't going to be allowed out of the city. Hopefully we would be later on. So we were going to have intensive language training, and
mm-hmm.
then hopefully there would be jobs for us.
Okay. So it was something of a gamble, in a sense.
Mm-hmm. They were taking a gamble, too, taking us over there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, less of a gamble mm-hmm. for you, because it would only mm-hmm. be a little bit of lost time. And you would get to see Washington. You'd get a flight out to Asia and see at least one country and a few cities along the way.
We had training. I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of the college in the Philippines.
Oh, you probably went to the University of the Philippines campus in Los Baños.
Yes, we went to Los Baños.
Yeah.
And then we went out to a barrio.
Mm-hmm.
And that was worse than...
That was what?
That was worse than living in Vientiane.
Oh, no kidding. How come?
That gave us a worse experience than... We got to... When Los Baños... you never knew whether you're going to have water or not. You never knew whether you're going to have electricity or not. No. We went out to the... When we went out to the barrio, there was three of us.
Do you remember
who? Three girls. Kathy... Okay. I can't remember, but Kathy and Donna Higgins and I stayed at the, I don't know what they call the head person of the town.
Well, if it's a barrio captain.
Okay. Yeah. We stayed at his house, but all three of us had to sleep in the same bed.
They probably didn't have room.
No.
That was it.
Which I'm very short, so it didn't bother me that we had to sleep sideways on the bed. I could fit.
You know. The others had a problem
with
that. The
other two girls either had to have their heads or their feet sticking off the bed.
Oh, no.
So.
Uh-oh. Well, I probably would have slept on the floor by then.
We didn't want to. They gave us a bed. We thought we better sleep in it.
Okay.
We didn't want to embarrass them by choosing the floor. So.
Well, what did you do there, other than sleep on beds that were too small and?
Take tours of the barrio and see what the agricultural. Developing country, what people do and how they acted, etc. Really not much.
Okay. They didn't run you through rice paddies and show you planting of rice or vegetable gardens or things like that?
If they did, I don't remember. No,
okay. Well, some of the agriculture groups had been put through that, and so I was wondering what they would do with this nutrition.
Maybe the guys did more than what we did, I think. We had two married couples with us.
Oh, who were they?
Jane and Steve Stone and Beth and George Wiggins.
Okay.
So Jane and Beth were with us during the day, but they got to stay with their husbands.
They got to stay with
them. That was nice.
In real beds?
And I don't know. Never asked him.
No, I thought that perhaps because nutritionists would have to know something about
we
the planning.
We might have seen some
too that they
nutrition
would
centers actually come to think of it.
Okay. Rather than any of the production of goods. Okay.
I think it was more nutrition center and working with the kids.
Oh, okay. You did a little bit of that there?
I guess we did do some nutrition things at the college.
Mm-hmm.
Too, because.
You guess because you're remembering now, or because I'm suggesting it?
I can sort of see some nutrition posters, and that we saw.
Well, I'm trying to spark the memory, not to plant it. So, so if I appear to be doing that, just give me an emphatic no.
Okay.
Then
we got a trip to Hong Kong because they still didn't know what they were going to do with us when we got there.
So they were keeping you busy.
We stopped in Hong Kong and got to stay there for. Was 3 weeks, 3 days to a week, I think. I can't remember. We were supposed to be there a couple days, and we stayed a little bit longer, which was nice, too.
Buying stuff, eating stuff.
No, we didn't have much money.
Oh, well, that's true, yes.
And we bought a camera, which I lost as soon as I got to Laos. And then we went to Vientiane, stayed in the IVS guest house in Vientiane. Had language training every day at the school, and went down to morning market. I mean, in Vientiane, it was hot and cold running water. We could take a shower whenever we wanted to, and we knew there was going to be water, so you didn't have to soap up your hair and hope that there'd be water to rinse out the soap. There was.
That's why they make buckets. You could have a bucket ready, you know.
Well, even living with a Lao family, at least there is water in a bucket. When we were in the Philippines, you'd be taking a shower and there was all of a sudden no water and there was no bucket. And you were stuck. At least they didn't tell us where the buckets were. And there might have been certain times, too, when the water was shut off, but they didn't tell us when they were going to shut off the water.
I can tell this happened to you. Something tells me this happened to you. I can just see
you. I did not like the Philippines.
Dripping
yes.
naked with a soapy
soap
head.
In my hair.
And then standing there looking at a pipe that's now empty. Yep, okay. I have the ridiculous picture.
The guest house also had a maid, so we didn't ever have
How nice.
You know, if we wanted to, she'd do our laundry, and there was a old-fashioned wringer washing machine, so we got to do our own laundry there. But we were in Van Chung for quite some time.
For the language training, you mean?
And for them to figure out what to do with us.
Okay, yeah, I was going to let you fill that in if it was appropriate.
So
they were still scrambling.
Uh-huh. Some of the guys went... We were in language training for quite some time, I think.
Well, when did you actually arrive in Laos then?
I have no idea.
Okay.
My conception of time, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't quite connect.
It's not one
connect,
of those
huh?
things I...
Because it was probably after the summer independence study, so it's probably somewhere near end of summer.
Yeah. Well, no, because we left in October.
Okay, all right. We only would have had...
And we were still in the guest house at Christmas time. We were all still...
Really?
All of us that were still living in the guest house at Christmas time.
So October, maybe... Yeah.
And New Year, even.
Uh-huh.
We were all still... Well, some of us had gone... We stayed some... with Lao families for a while to get a little taste of the culture.
Uh-huh.
So I think we might have been staying with Lao families around Christmas time.
Okay.
But somewhere in the first year we did some training at the home agents that were allowed to go outside, the Lao home agents.
Uh-huh.
We're still conducting classes
mm-hmm.
and still having basically sewing, nutrition, sanitation classes. And they came in once a year for training into Vien Chun. All of them from Paksaen to Kep and Long Bong.
Mm-hmm.
And we attended some of the training. I'm not sure we helped.
Okay. You at least
we
attended.
We were there.
Yeah.
And we were supposed to be helping and teaching, but
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure our language skills were very good at that time.
At least at that point. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you left in October, that only would have been 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not unusual for a training program, because you would have had at least 2 weeks in the Philippines and then a week in Washington.
I think we... I'm not sure. The people that were teaching in the English, Don Dog, though, in
yeah.
the school, had no language training, and they were out there working.
Already.
But
so that may be
by
made...
By the time we got there.
Yeah, because they would
not
have gone to Los Baños.
No, they didn't go to Los Baños.
So they went immediately to...
They went...
To in-country, and then off to work.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why it might seem long, but I...
I think it was quite long. Some of the things I did was like when Peace Corps volunteers in Thailand needed to renew their visa, they'd come up and stay at the IVS.
Mm-hmm.
And other people that came up to renew their visas go back to Thailand, etc. And
mm-hmm.
I didn't have much to do, so I'd take them down to Morning Market and haggle with them, and show them around Morning Market things they wanted to buy and stuff. It seemed like I did that for a year.
Ooh, okay. All right.
No.
Hmm. Whoa. Let me back up for just a minute, because you said that there was the week in Washington, D.C. before all this began. And I think it was before... turning on the tape, we talked a little bit about some of the issues that were discussed, at least at Washington. Issues about personal safety
mm-hmm.
because of the killings of Art Stillman and Dennis Mumford, which had just taken place.
Mm-hmm.
What do you remember of some of the discussions and information passed out and what effect that might have had on people who were in your group?
I think what I remember, and this is just vaguely,
okay,
is
right.
that they were out in the Bonoc. They were out doing field work.
Mm-hmm.
And what had happened after their deaths was that IVSers were not going to be allowed to go outside the big cities.
Uh-huh. You know,
for the 2 years I was there, we were still not allowed to go more than 5 miles out of town, and we had to be back in by dark.
Uh-huh.
So, but there were, you know, I think they bent the rules for some people, but, you know, so some people were, oh, even the people in the small towns were still, you know, there was somebody in the town that knew they were not in town where they were, and that the stipulation was still that they would be back in by dark.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I went over with the thought that, you know, it's, we're not going to be going into dangerous areas.
Okay. So that didn't really have any deterrent on you.
Mm-hmm.
You said there were volunteers who had been just back from Laos who were telling you about things.
What I remember them telling us about more was the language and the people.
Okay.
Than the danger.
Okay. So that was only a part of the program.
It was more.
Okay, so you had to basically cool your jets for quite a while then,
mm-hmm.
According to your memory, perhaps more than just a normal training period might have been for language, culture, etc. And couldn't do much except attend conferences where home economics and nutritionists would be brought in from the provinces.
We did that one time.
Just one time?
They did that once a year, so... We did that one too. And
okay.
So it was the person that ran the Lao home agents, and then her supervisor, who was from USAID,
okay.
Also
yeah.
came in. And mm-hmm. she was... Lao Thai.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember how they worked it. Which one she got paid less if she was, but that's what she was.
they paid her at the lower rank?
Yeah.
Oh, too bad.
I think so. She had to be Lao.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why? Because they'd pay a Thai more?
Because, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, nonetheless, you were still there for your full two years,
mm-hmm.
and you might not carry on for just 2 years without going nuts, just showing people the market every day.
No.
So something must have broken, and tell me about when that happened and then what you started to do.
When? I don't know.
Yeah, when is that's the big thing here.
I don't even know when the rainy season is or when the festivals are. But I'll attend them all. somewhere along the line, they found me a little house near Tatlawang, which was a Lao house on stilts and a squat toilet and a big can for water. The landlord had to dig out the well, which...
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do a very good job, but then it was the neighborhood well.
Okay.
When I started living there, across the street was a, not a mill, but where they brought their rice to hull it in a little area of Yanchun.
Okay.
And then I worked with,
What area was this?
Tatlawang. One of the Buddhist temples. It's an area in Vientiane
mm-hmm.
around the Buddhist temple that was called Tatlawang.
Okay.
So then I had home agents that I worked with, and in Bonnoy and some other place. I can't remember where. We started nutrition center for kids.
Oh, uh-huh.
Little kids under five. Mm. We'd take them, so we had the PL480 program.
Getting rid of bulgur wheat.
Yes. Bulgur wheat and soy powder and
yuck.
Stuff I wouldn't eat. But we were feeding to these kids. we took them to the Lao Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them had worms, and some of them had heart murmurs, etc. So we'd get them medicine for their intestinal bugs. Then we went out a little bit further to a mango farm,
mm-hmm.
where we had a child nutrition center for a while, plus the home agents taught the teenagers sewing and nutrition and sanitation. So they would come to this that had a platform and it had running water. They'd come there. And I don't know how long these sessions were.
Oh. Pepper's excited. She sees Daddy coming in.
So I got used to the little kids going out in the mango fields and picking off the bugs off the tree. That's what I thought you were going to tell me. They picked off the bugs off the trees and ate them.
Oh, no.
They'd get the big bugs and they'd take off their wings, but they weren't so good just raw, so they'd throw them in a little tiny fire and just sort of pass them through, and then they'd eat them too.
So. Do you ever try it?
No.
Oh.
No. So
you could have picked up a few nutrition pointers.
Some of the kids didn't show up one day, so I went out, drove out to Bonnoy to pick the kids up, and they were just sort of wandering. You know, they were not school age yet. They were sort of wandering over to where we had the nutrition center. And they'd been in the rice paddies picking up different things, and they handed them to me so I could get them into the Jeep, and I didn't know what they were handing me.
There were bugs.
There were bugs, and there were crawdads, or whatever you want to call them. And I dropped them, which really made the kids upset because it was probably going to be their lunch.
Oh, no.
Stupid Falung dropped all these things. They got over it. And then somewhere along the line, I took my Jeep in for an oil change. Beth and I were also working on with the...
Beth, you're Beth.
Beth Nye.
Oh, yeah, okay. Big Beth. Okay. who is who? Beth Wiggins, right?
Yes.
Okay.
We were working on some projects together with some of the PL, whatever, 480 stuff at her house.
Mm-hmm.
So after I got the Jeep oil changed at USAID,
mm-hmm.
we drove down to her house, and I think we had to pick somebody up at the river to even bring him into town. The Jeep wouldn't work. It just froze up.
Uh-huh.
Well, they'd taken the oil out of the Jeep, but they never put any in, and I'd driven it probably for 3 days without...
Pretty good.
Yeah. And of course, it was my fault. Don't you know you're supposed to check the oil after you get an oil change?
No, you're not. No. I never do.
So then, instead of a Jeep, I just had a motorcycle.
Oh.
But, no. Then somewhere along the line, I was sent to Tech Heck.
Uh-huh.
And...
To do what? I mean, now you're getting out of Vientiane. So, yeah. Apparently, it's determined that the security's okay.
Well, except, no, I was still not allowed. I still had to be back in Tech Heck by nighttime. And USAID furnished a man to drive the Jeep for me. And
uh-huh. No, well, yeah, they didn't want to lose another engine.
That was probably it.
It had nothing to do with security.
So we had, I think, three or four home agents there. And we went out into the villages. We didn't have a child feeding center, but it was for teaching sewing and...
So you did go out into villages then?
Yeah, and then came back.
Yeah, well, I think probably coming back at night is just a good idea anyway. You know, I mean, but it certainly looks like the situation is somewhat improved, or at least is seen to be improved.
Mm-hmm.
Because before they wouldn't have let you even go to Taket, much less go out to the villages, would they?
I think I probably went out further in Taket than But Banoy still was a place near Vientiane that we really weren't supposed to go to, and when it was dark out.
Uh-huh.
I'm not. That's where I sort of found out that I didn't know whether we were really doing a good job. I got to Taket, and one of the home agents' babies was quite sick.
Uh-huh.
And I was 21 and single, and what did I know about kids, right?
All right.
I shouldn't have even been there as far as they were concerned. But, and she wouldn't listen to me about, you know, feeding the baby. The baby was quite ill.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doctors around at all. And it would cough when she fed it. So her theory was, don't fill the nipple full. So here she was feeding the baby with air and formula.
So it cough and burp a lot.
You wouldn't eat very much at all.
Yeah, yeah.
And there you don't have to have a doctor's prescription. So she went to the little hospital, which was just four walls, not even all the way to the roof, and a roof. Asked a nurse, a Vietnamese nurse,
mm-hmm.
know what she should do. She went down to the pharmacy, got the medicine, took it back. The nurse gave the baby an injection,
mm-hmm.
and the baby went into convulsions. And so this happened when I wasn't, you know, I wasn't there at that time.
At that one incident, yeah.
But they came to my house because I had the Jeep, and I could go out and get the medicine man, what do they call the medicine man?
Kind of a local healer?
Yeah. So I went out and got the medicine man and brought him back. And mm-hmm. so the next morning, this poor baby had manure on its head. And,
yeah.
And it died.
Yeah.
It died. So even the home agents that were teaching out in the villages that we were supposed to have taught didn't know enough how to take care of their own children.
Mm-hmm. Or didn't have the means to take care of their own children. I mean, you said there was no doctor.
There was no doctor, yes.
So, yes. I mean, you know, what could she do except go to the traditional sources?
Yes.
You know, so how much more a villager?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she was still wiping the baby's butt on the table with the same cloth.
Okay.
Sort of thing. So, you know, even her
concepts of sanitation wasn't quite there. Okay.
Wasn't quite there.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
So I think that could make you think twice about what you're doing. Or, you know.
We were there we helped because our presence there probably got the USAID money to teach some of these things. So even though we personally did not teach them.
Okay.
She hasn't. Well, I just been around the block.
Oh, I bet she'd like that. I'm going to take the killer dog to the park. Let me.
This
happened fairly early on then, into the Taket thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Taket, I think I was there my last 3 months, actually. So I wasn't there very long. It was at the end of my stay. One of the reasons that I was told that they didn't want anybody in Tek Tak was right across the border into Thailand was the American Air Force base. And the last, this is what I heard.
Okay.
This is just hearsay. My language was pretty good by then. And what I heard was the last person that they had in Tek Tak spent most of her time over in the with the Americans at the Air Force base.
Oh, really?
So.
And they were afraid you'd just be over there and enjoying the American community rather than doing your job.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah.
But for a while, I was about the only American. They had a USAID base there, too, but it wasn't a lot of Americans in town.
Well, no, it's a small place.
They did give me a Falun house, a foreigner's house to live in, so I wasn't in a Lao house there.
Uh-huh.
So I, you know.
Did you live alone then?
Yeah. And I had, you know, there I had running water, and I had an electric stove and a refrigerator. And, you know, where in Vientiane I had a kerosene stove, I did have a refrigerator, and I did have electricity, but I didn't have running water.
Yeah.
I even had my own washing machine in Tek Tak.
My goodness. So that was very much like your Philippine experience.
No. The water worked all the time. And it was a sit-down toilet.
Oh, my gosh, even.
No, but none of the Lao people knew how to use it.
Well, I don't think I would be called in for demonstrations. I don't think I'd do something of a pass on that. So you finished out your time. In Tek Tak, and nothing.
Nothing bad happened.
Nothing bad happened to you, no. But there's this discouragement of trying to work with people who can't or don't appreciate some of the things that they themselves are teaching.
Well, I don't think they fully understood.
And yeah.
The knowledge just was not there. One of the fellows from in Vientiane, Samai, was educated, you know, he was quite discouraged, too. He worked for the government, but he had an education in the United States.
Uh-huh.
So he came back, and he was teaching the home agents, and one of his big things that he wanted to teach was birth control,
mm-hmm.
which they never understood, you know, and so that's one of the things we were supposed to teach when we were out there, too. But
would they have wanted birth control?
Most of them didn't feel it was necessary just because their husbands were all fighting the war. And they were hardly ever home.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they did want birth control. Abortions were available.
Uh-huh.
Now, they knew what was going on. One of the home agents, I'm sure, went over to Thailand and got an abortion while I was there, too. Because her husband happened to come home at the wrong time. You know, and she did not want any more children at that time. That was the one where the baby had just died.
Mm-hmm.
And she was still grieving, going through that process.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think they thought about it, but that was good enough to, you know, when you know you're pregnant, then you're... Abortion was okay.
Yeah. Okay, well, I was just wondering in that economy of, you know, because the children wouldn't necessarily cost more if they would. We're still thinking it would be okay or good to have lots of children. But already they're thinking no smaller families.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So at least that lesson was certainly
there. There were costs on the mother's health, I think, Mark. For
as well.
A lot of the home agents anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And the women were being more liberated. They didn't want to stay home and take care of 9 kids.
This is the home agents.
Uh-huh. And the men didn't want to get married and have to take care of their family plus their in-laws' families and be responsible. So, the American educated ones.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's as far as the Lao men that were working with the home agents, a lot of them were American educated.
Okay. So they shared a lot of the same values.
I don't know about that. I don't think they had any values. No, I think the American educated men over there were very discouraged because they were given scholarships and free reign of America as far as they were concerned and came back and got $80 a month.
Like the IBS volunteer.
Yeah. Or comparable to what the government people were making. Which wasn't what they expected. And then they would get married and they'd be expected to take care of the extended family when they didn't think that that money was enough for them alone.
Much less the
extended family.
So now that some time has passed, what do you think of IBS as an agency?
As an agency then or as it is now?
Then.
I guess either way it'd be. I think it is and was a good agency. I guess I don't think of it as an extension of USAID.
Maybe that's
the way I want to believe it still. That we weren't USAID people.
Well, a lot of your projects would have been funded by USAID. Was there much USAID supervision for your own work?
No, I had no supervision. I had to turn in monthly reports.
Was Benita your supervisor?
Benita was a US USAID supervisor, but as far as supervision of what we did all the time, you know, we saw her rarely. If we wanted something, we could go to Benita, and she would.
So AID, and then was really just a backup for you.
Yes.
You know, if you wanted some advice and if you wanted extra materials and things, and as far as you were concerned, it really didn't have any direct relevance.
No.
Well, I guess that would have been fairly ideal.
Well, it would have been ideal if the people we worked with thought that that's what it was. They didn't see us as volunteers. I mean, they saw us as working for USAID.
The Lao people.
The Lao people.
All right.
But as far as getting something accomplished, I still think we accomplished a lot because we were volunteers, and there was a differentiation between the volunteers and the USAID people. But in their eyes, it was still USAID money. They knew that. But they liked how. So we were still USAID people, but they liked the idea of the volunteers being the ones that were disseminating the information and working with them because we were more like they were than these haughty-taughty USAID people.
They came off that way.
Well, to the people I. Yeah.
That's right. No, that's what I meant. Not necessarily to you. Possibly to you, but I was thinking more of the Lao impression. So in that way, you were able to do things, and you thought in a worthwhile way.
Yeah,
that's a question.
So.
I don't know.
I guess when I was doing things, I tried to stay as far away from USAID as possible. But I could do things in a worthwhile way and still know that the funding would be there.
Okay. You say that you told me before, just a little bit ago, that you went over to find out what was going on and to have your own impressions, vague as they were, defined by just going over there rather than just listening to other people's stories. Did you get any impressions?
I guess
confirmed?
I went over to find out what was going on in Vietnam.
Yeah.
So I went over to a country where I wasn't allowed out of the state capital. And my plane ticket said I could go further. So the first vacation, John Chapman and I went over to Vietnam.
Uh-huh.
Went to the IVS house. They let us stay there.
Uh-huh.
They gave us a Jeep.
Uh-huh.
We went 40 miles out of town. I don't think we had to be back by nighttime, you know.
Uh-huh.
So when I went, it was less dangerous in Vietnam than it was in Laos.
It was more open.
It was more open. Well, we went to the Cao Dai Temple and wandered around, and we wandered around downtown Saigon. And
I think this is a fantastic contrast.
The devastation, though, in flying over was terrible.
Oh, okay. What you could see out the plane.
So, yes. Seeing what the war had done to the country and to the buildings and to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Was much more devastating than what was going on in Laos. Laos was definitely, Laos was definitely a hidden war.
Mm-hmm.
My big sister worked for Air America.
Your big sister?
Yeah. So when I stayed in my little Lao family, it was just one girl. She had her house. I was out there op-nomming with the water in the bucket. You know, they had to clean up the toilet because nobody used the out toilet. I mean, they had to put walls around it so the foreigner could use the bathroom. And they thought it was funny. She didn't use the bathroom at all. She'd wait till she went to work and took a shower.
And then use the bathroom there?
Use the bathroom at work. She wouldn't use the bathroom. No, so.
That was your big sister?
Yeah. So
a Laotian.
Yeah.
Okay. And this was her family?
Actually, she was a single mom. I don't know what happened to her husband. But her mother was taking care of her child. But there was just her.
Uh-huh.
So, but she worked with the soldiers that weren't there, you know, sort of thing, for Air America.
Uh-huh.
So.
So we're,
did I learn what was going on?
Yeah,
back
to the question. I mean, you know.
Did I learn what was going on over there?
Well, certainly going into Vietnam. And when would that have, you know, I'm sorry, another when question. But was that in your first year?
I think it was because the tickets were good for a year. So it must have been like the end of my first year. I think it for a year.
So if you had come during October of 69, it had to have been sometime. Later part of 69, you would have still been in training and kept in Vientiane, so it had to have been in 70 then sometime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And then the situation in Vietnam is actually a little freer to operate than
at that time,
in Laos. So did that tell you anything? You didn't plug that into.
By that time, I didn't care, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. I guess I wanted to go over to see what was going on with the American soldiers and, you know, the way they were coming back and how they were acting, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know what was going on with our guys.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I went to Vietnam, and having lived in a subsistent level country where people work day to day just to stay alive, I wasn't worried about the Americans at all.
You weren't.
Worried about the countrymen.
Okay.
So
your original question was now quite secondary.
Yes.
to the new insights that you had gained because of the volunteer experience?
Well, yeah, because I guess some of my questions were answered because some of my friends came back saying what wonderful people and what a wonderful country Vietnam was, really.
Uh-huh.
Where there were others who were saying, you know, kill them all.
This is before you went to IBS.
Before I went.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah. So they are wonderful people, so I guess I just decided which people I was going to agree with.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Their perspective of how they saw Southeast Asia.
Mm-hmm. So that alone is worth the trip. I hope. At least it's part of the experience of finding out what's going on in your own age. But still, there's a question on that coming that I'll come back to again now, and that is from way back in D.C., even before you start the whole IBS experience, you hear about the killings of folks, and then you're kept in capital cities for a long time. Do you think that at that point, or maybe some other point, that maybe the IBS program should have been ended? Because it wasn't, the conditions were not going to make the volunteer impact really viable.
I still think even though we weren't going out, the home
uh-huh.
agents were going out.
Uh-huh.
There was Don Doak. There was still the fisheries. There
uh-huh.
were still some people out there working in the small villages.
Okay.
We were still getting the money to give to the, you know, we weren't doing it personally, but our presence was getting at...
Facilitating.
Yeah, but...
Sorry to...
That's okay. My brain is dead.
Oh. I don't know
so
about that.
So I'm not... As far as did we help anybody or did we do any good, no.
You said no?
No, I didn't mean no. I thought he
oh,
said
okay.
no.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, that seemed to contradict what you had just been saying.
I'm not, I was just thinking about a per capita basis, you know, how the Americans like to think.